player, and it's a violation.
It's actually a negative play.
Durant, a good look at three. Guess who found him? Draymond Green. So they start.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Good win for the Warriors last night as they take down the T-Wolves. 116-108. Draymond was back and in full effect. Steph Curry just shoots 50% from three. It's what he does. All that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. It's your boy, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good episode for you today as the Dubs take down the Minnesota Timberwolves last night. 108-116, Draymond back in full effect. We got to come up with a nickname, or maybe we don't, but I was calling it like Hurricane Draymond or Tasmanian Draymond. Just when he is full of energy, full of just that, I don't even know what to call it, piss and vinegar. I don't know if that's even the right term. Should I delete that? I don't know. But it was great to see. It was the classic Golden State Warriors. And they're still not 100%, obviously, because we're going to get to that in a minute, because they're missing, a little all-star, a little 270-pound all-star center named DeMarcus Cousins. But this was as close as they've gotten to 100% and looks as impressive as it has before. Draymond last night, 7 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 block. He was Draymond Green. I mean, that's all there is to say about it. He came in fully energized. He mentioned his wind wasn't all the way back. He got a little gas towards the end of the first half and towards the end of the game. But you wouldn't be able to tell, because at the end of the first half, with about 6 seconds left, Steph Curry's dribbling up, throws a lob to Draymond, who catches it in midair, turns, slings it to Clay on the wing, who knocks down the three. It was an incredible play that, I mean, I don't, maybe only Draymond, maybe LeBron could make that play, because it wasn't no look, but it pretty much was no look. Like, there's no way he saw Clay before he decided to turn and laser that thing out there to him. One thing I want to say is this is not the kind of podcast where you're going to hear me trying to manufacture some sort of fake drama between Kevin Durant and the rest of the team because he's getting less shots. You can find that somewhere else. I listened to some other podcasts today that just are reaching. And why not talk about the fact that Steph is shooting 50% from three on 182 shots, 182 threes. He's made 91, shooting 50% from three on the year. Went 7 of 14 last night. Instead, they want to talk about Kevin Durant only got 15 shots last night. And how's he going to handle that? You know, he's going to handle it fine, because they're going to win another ring, and that'll be three in a row. And also, the other thing is, yeah, he was able to go off during the time that Steph was out, during the time Draymond was out. But if you look at his averages over the last 3 years, or the last 2 years with the Warriors, he averages just over 17 shots a game over those last 2 years that he's been with the Warriors. In the 5 games since Steph's been back, I think it is, he's averaging 15 and a half. So I'm sure it will correct itself and he'll get back up to 17. But and sorry for this random rant. I just heard it this morning that immediately people started talking about, well, KD's getting less shots now that the guys are back. He's getting pretty much the same amount of shots he usually gets. And so is Steph, and so is Clay, and so is Draymond. Just trying to force some sort of drama, just whatever. I don't know. It fired me up. I hated hearing it. It's one thing when it's there. Look, when Draymond and KD went at it, that's there. Talk about it. Run it into the ground. But when they are running off 4 straight wins, playing great, getting Draymond back, and DeMarcus Cousins coming back around the corner, and you're trying to manufacture something, I just think that's bull. So anyways, back to the game. Sorry about that. Steph Curry was incredible, as usual. And I mentioned he's shooting 50% from three right now. 50% exactly. He's 91 of 182. And Steve Kerr has four seasons. He's the only one in NBA history with any years of making over 50% from three. And one of the years is pretty comical because it was, what, 16 of 31. But in the other 3 years, he went 50% plus from three. He went 73 of 144, 89 of 170, and 122 of 237. Don't get me wrong, those are nice. Those are great for a role player, but I just wanted to point out that in two out of those 3 years, Steph Curry already has made more threes than Steve Kerr did. And shout out Steve, one of the best three-point shooters ever, but not at the same volume that Steph is doing in this short amount of time. That's over 82 games, what Steve did. This is 17 games for Steph, I believe. Right? Steph is incredible. We all know it. Keep it going. Play enough games. Continue to play like this. You're going to win MVP. I think it's pretty much that simple. Unless someone else really makes a run, proves that they're the guy, proves that they, you know, put their team on their back and put up crazy numbers. Steph's the front runner, in my opinion. Personally, Klay Thompson, another good game from Klay. As I've talked about with him in consistency, he put up another good game. Not great, but good. And mostly what I focus on is the three-point shooting. But shooting overall, he wasn't great. He was 8 of 22, but he did go 4 of 7 from 3. 6 of 6 from the free throw line, which is actually a good number from him. Only 2 rebounds. After he's been rebounding better, would like to see more out of him, more consistency there. But, you know, when you put up 26 points, I can live with it. 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And I wanted to rattle off some numbers here about Klay and the last 5 games ever since Steph returned. And he's been playing well before Steph returned also. In his last 8 games, he was shooting about 43% from 3, averaging 24 points. But in the 5 games since Steph has returned, shooting 44% from 3, averaging 22 points, 1 block, 2.5 assists, 1.5 steals, and 5.5 rebounds. He's finding it, I guess you could say. It was a long lapse, a long run of un-Klay-like performances, but I think he's getting better, and I think he's getting it back. Now, like I've said, and I'll continue to say it until it doesn't become a topic anymore, is he just needs to continue that consistency, just to continue playing well, knocking down threes at the normal clip. And the other thing is, too, these numbers aren't bad. If someone else was giving you these numbers, you'd be pretty happy with them. It's the fact that we know Klay is better than this. It's compared to his own greatness, you know? It's compared to what we've seen him do before. As far as the rest of the game's concerned, Kevon Looney was fine. Nothing special. He did take a three that he airballed, but I love it. What the hell? Go for it. Had a nice spin move and drive to get a bucket. Jonas Jerebko, even though the numbers weren't fantastic or efficiency-wise, he still manages to do so much for this team. He was 3-9 from the field, 2-7 from 3. Yeah, he took another 7 threes, which I love. 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 10 points. So if you just, you know, ignore the 3-9 and 2-7, which is you can't do, but if you just look at the points and rebounds, he had 10-8, 10-8-5 last night. That's damn good. McKinney, solid, not great. 3-7 from the field, 1-3 from 3. 4 offensive rebounds. Okay, 6 rebounds overall. Between McKinney, Jerebko, Jordan Bell showing it a little bit as well. Kevon Looney. They're turning into a solid offensive rebounding team. Throw Steph in there as well, who's a solid rebounder as a guard. KD, good rebounder, more on the defensive side. But they're turning into a good offensive rebounding team. Kevon Looney, like I said, top 10 offensive rebound rate. And with this team, and especially Klay, who treats offensive rebounds like Aaron Rodgers treats offside flags, just like it's a free play, it's so valuable for this team. You know what else is valuable? Action Heat clothing. This episode is actually sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries. Easy for me to say. That last up to 12 hours. Not only that, you can charge your phone with it. I need that. My phone dies all the time, maybe because I'm on it all the time. Action Heat clothing, man, it's the best for when you're outside, especially during the winter. Also, you know what? It's nice in the house. You don't want to run up that electric bill, that heating bill. Throw on some Action Heat. That ain't going to cost you. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who spends time outdoors. Great for skiers, snowboarders, anyone in a cold climate. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat's available in men's and women's and has new styles and models just released for this winter season. I can't urge you enough to go get some Action Heat clothing, man, especially with how cold it's been lately. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep you toasty and warm. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon. Or just use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to save yourself 20%. Stay toasty and warm while you enjoy all outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring this podcast, which is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just finished talking about the Minnesota game a little bit, the game that the Golden State Warriors won, 116-108. Another nice win. That's 4 in a row for these Golden State Warriors. They take on the Raps tomorrow night, Wednesday evening. Should be a good one. One thing I wanted to talk about real quick, though, is the three-point shooting with the Warriors. Steve Kerr was asked about it and has been asked about the lack of three-point shooting. They're kind of run of the mill, middle of the pack, three-point attempt-wise. I know they were 19th a while ago after the last couple games, maybe bumped up a couple spots. And Steve Kerr basically said, look, we're not going to force three-point attempts. We're going to get good shots, and whether that's mid-range, layups, threes, whatever, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to force shots just to force them, just so the numbers look better, just so we can say we're middle of the pack in three-point attempts or top 10 or whatever. Draymond was also asked about it and basically echoed the same sentiment that we're not just going to take threes just to take them. And he also pretty much said we have a Hall of Fame f***ing offense, so why would we change anything? He basically said we're good with how it's worked out. It's been fine, so we're just going to keep doing things the way we've been doing them. To summarize, that wasn't the exact quote. And I've said on here before that I agree with him. There's no reason to take bad shots. But something has changed recently with the Warriors. Over the last three games, they have taken over 30 threes in the last three games and actually over 40 threes in the last two games. But over the last three, their totals are 18.7 of 41 three-point attempts. That's 45.5%. That's great. And a big part of that is Steph Curry's back, obviously. When Steph takes 14 threes in a game, that helps you get your totals up. And when he's knocking down 50%, that also helps. But my thinking in the whole situation is that you have the best three-point shooting bench you've had in this entire run. Probably even before that, it was never that great. For what is considered the three-point shooting pioneers that the Warriors are, it's mostly Steph and Klay and KD when he came. You know, Brandon Rush was there, Mo Spates, Nick Young for a season. None of them really were that good. I mean, they were okay, but they didn't have the depth of three-point shooting that they have now with Alphonso McKinney, Jonas Jerebko, Quinn Cook. And I just feel like DeMarcus Cousins when he comes back, obviously. So I don't think they should be forcing shots. But what one of the things that I like so much is seeing Jonas Jerebko willing to take 7 threes, willing to take 9 threes in a game. Same thing with McKinney willing to jack up 7 threes in a game. He only took three this last game, but there's zero fear in either of those guys. They're willing to shoot. They are not afraid. And I love seeing that. But as far as, oh, we should four shots, we should jack up threes just to do it. No, definitely not. I agree with Steve and Draymond, but I do like the fact that they are getting more threes and that the role players are getting more threes because they're capable. Not because, I don't need Draymond taking 10 threes. I don't need, Looney taking 10 or anything like that. But the fact that three-point shooters are getting shots, I like that, and I do think that's something that should continue. But it could also be, it really could also be the fact that they've played two straight teams that packed the paint and wanted to double-team Steph or Clay or KD. And so that got open shots for guys like McKinney, guys like Jarebko. It'll be interesting to see how it goes the rest of the year moving forward, but I think they're kind of on a path to where we're going to see a few more threes. And like I said, having Steph back obviously helps that because he's going to take more than anyone, which is a good thing for this team. DeMarcus Cousins practiced with the Santa Cruz Warriors yesterday and had a nice interview after, did some media availability. I'm going to play that whole thing for you coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. As I mentioned, Draymond spent some time practicing with the Warriors of Santa Cruz, and he did media availability after. And I'm going to play this whole thing for you. It's about 10 minutes long. He covers everything. So here it is, DeMarcus Cousins' media availability after his first full 5-on-5 scrimmage since tearing his Achilles.
What was I able to do today? We got three quarters in the basketball, three 6-7 minute quarters. Played all three full minutes, and it felt good. My body felt good. Rhythm wasn't quite there where I wanted it to be, but as far as my body and just getting up and down and pushing the limit, it felt great. Win wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Still not where I want to be with that as well, but overall, I feel good.
Yeah, we'll do you're clear for everything, right? Full contact,
5-on-5. Yeah, it was full contact, 5-on-5. Clear.
How far away do you think you are from getting back?
I don't know. I feel like if my life depended on it at the moment, yeah, I could go out and play a game, but I want to be 100% or as close as 100% I can be when I do return, and want my body in tip-top shape. It's not even about Achilles. It's just about my other body parts and just making sure everything's fine-tuned and in the best shape possible to go out there and play a full game.
What do you think is the biggest obstacle just to get back? Is it wind or is it something?
As of right now, conditioning, conditioning, rhythm. It's almost been a year since I've played, organized game of basketball. So it's a lot of time off. So, just getting back in the rhythm of things, the flow of a basketball game, building chemistry with the guys on the floor. It's a lot different than, going out there playing one-on-one basketball or two-on-two or whatever the case may be. So, just finding that whole flow of the game.
Marcus, coming back from an injury like yours is one of the most difficult that a pro athlete faces. How humbling has this process been for you? What has it been like for you?
It's been extremely humbling. It's really tested me as a person, as a man, as an athlete. I've had a lot of dark days, a lot of good days. I've questioned myself a lot, but I found a way to overcome all those bad feelings. So I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm extremely excited to get back on the floor. The sooner the better for me, probably for you guys as well, but I can see the light, so I'm extremely excited about that.
Is there something you've learned that stuck with you? Like, what was the darkest point for you?
I don't really want to sit and just harp on it because I'm past those parts and those moments. So I've learned from them. I've grown from them. I've grown a lot through this process. My mind has expanded a lot. I'm extremely grateful for this game. All I want to do is get back out there and play the game that I love to play.
What do you think about the guys you went up against today?
Very talented. These young athletic guys. So that's really what I wanted to experience because that's more close to an NBA game. Long athletic guys and getting up and down. It's a huge difference from playing, the coaches and trainers and stuff like that. So just like I said, trying to find the flow of the game, getting my body and my mind used to, you know, playing with high level competition. So it's just a matter of time.
The Warriors have always shown out, I guess, a habit to bringing guys down here just to get them right. What went into that decision? Was it you or was it the coaches that were like a Cuban or whatever?
I honestly wasn't even aware of that, but it was my idea. You know, I wanted to come down and because before I ever wanted to step foot on the floor, I wanted to get in some type of basketball rhythm. And, you know, that's something me and the trainers kind of butted heads about. It was, you know, they had their idea of, you know, getting ready for a game, and I have mine. So the last thing I wanted to do was, you know, go from doing drill work in 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 straight into an NBA game. And I would be kind of shooting myself in the foot at that time. So, you know, I just wanted to be in the best shape possible, the best rhythm possible before I actually step on the floor for an NBA game.
Do you want to – I think that it was brought up if you would want to play in a game here. Or do you think that's a possibility?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, I discussed with, you know, Bob and some of the guys at the top. And, you know, once we come together and figure something out, I mean, pretty sure you guys will know.
Now that you've been with the around Golden State for a couple months now, how do you see yourself fitting in and, you know, seeing what you might be able to do with them?
I think it'll be a lot of fun. I said it earlier on in the year. This is a team with a lot of, you know, good IQs. And you put a lot of good IQs on the floor, great IQs on the floor, basketball IQs. I think everything else will kind of figure itself out. Of course, it'll be an adjustment. Of course, it'll be, you know, something for the whole team to, you know, learn and adjust to. But I think we'll figure it out pretty quick.
You've never really sat out this much time. Is it weird just to be just on the court? I mean, I know it would just be off the court and just looking up from the sidelines that you've been doing. Is it weird?
It's very weird. And, you know, like I said earlier, I try not to, you know, harp on those type of moments. I'm sorry. Try not to harp on those type of moments. And I've just kind of taken it day by day. And, you know, once I'm past that day, I try to move on to the next. So I'm still approaching it the same way. And, you know, when that day comes, it'll come. And I'll make sure I'm ready for it.
How was it on a more personal? How was it to see Damian go down the way he went last week? You know, I know that you were taking him under your wing a lot. How was it just to see that happen?
It sucks. You know, it sucks. This is a huge year for him. And, you know, being such a young guy and given such a big responsibility so quickly, I think he approached it and took it great. And, you know, it just sucks, and it's unfortunate that it happened when it happened. But, you know, I think he'll learn from this as well and come even, you know, even better as a player and as a person. So, you know, adversity is just, it's a challenge, and it's also a way of building yourself up. I don't really, going through this whole process, I don't really look at it as a negative thing anymore. It's just another building block for you. So, yeah, it sucks in the moment, but once you get past it, you'll learn a lot and you'll become a better person from it.
I think you've also, like, taken a lot of guys in your wing, whether it be Jordan Bell. You're always the first big to talk to a big when they come off the floor. Mm-hmm. Has that just been kind of solace for you to do that? What has that been like?
I'm just doing my part. You know, the young guys on that team, they're like sponges. They're always looking for information. They're always trying to learn. And when you got players like that, you know, you want to just give as much advice as you can. And, you know, they've taken on a big role, a big responsibility at a young age. And I'm just trying to ease up the load for them as much as I can. You know, I'm also not able to show them physically, but, you know, I can be a voice and, you know, tell them as much as I can from the sideline.
Have you taken on that role with any of these guys down here?
Me and Marcus have, you know, we've grown close over the time. He's the same way. He's a young guy. He's a sponge. And, you know, he's just trying to learn the game.
Will there be an indicator for you that you'll know, like, hey, I'm back? My game is back. I'm back to being my all-star level.
I don't know. To put it into words or to let you know what I'm looking for, I can't do. But, you know, just being an athlete and knowing my body and knowing my game, I'll know when that time is right.
You have said that you've talked to players that have dealt with the Achilles injury. Who have you been in the most contact with?
I spoke with Dominique a little bit. I spoke with Cole early on, like maybe the first or second month into the injury. Wes Matthews reached out, and I talked to Rudy as well, Rudy Gay as well. So I talked to a few guys. To say I was consistent with contact, no, because I kind of wanted to go and learn through this process on my own and, you know, figure it out on my own. And because, I mean, let's be honest, every guy is different. Every guy handles injuries, you know, differently. Their mindset is differently. So I know myself. I know how I get through situations. So, you know, I took in the information that helped and, you know, the stuff that I didn't really relate to, you know, kind of, you know, I just took it with a grain of salt or whatever. So, but I talked to a few guys.
What was it like teaming up with your brother for a little bit out there?
It was fun. We actually had a play today where I got him a pass over the top and he dunked on one of the players. So that was a cool moment for me and him.
Have you guys ever played like
never,
the same team?
Never. So this is the first time, so that was a pretty cool moment for me.
What have you seen from Jahlil in his development as a pro?
He's growing so much, man. You know, when I see him, I always look at him as my baby brother. But he's growing into a man, and, you know, he's just matured so much, and it's awesome to see as a brother. And, you know, being a big brother, if anybody is, or a big sister, you kind of always worry about your younger sibling. So just to see where he is now, it's kind of a breath of fresh air for him.
You came down to watch him play before. Were you thinking at that time that you might be taking this court at some point?
Honestly, at that moment, I never thought of that. But, you know, I don't look at this as anything but an opportunity to get better and prepare myself. So, you know, I'm happy to be in this situation. You know, I'm going to take full advantage of it, and I'm going to have fun while I'm doing it.
Is there a game you're targeting to return, or is it just
no
process?
No.
I know you're coming. You're going back up to the Bay tonight, and then coming back here on Wednesday, I believe. Is there something?
I'm not really sure what the schedule is, but I mean, I'll be back tonight for the game. But as far as coming back up here or anything like that, I'm not really sure yet.
You said a few words to the team. I saw in the huddle there. What were you talking to them about?
Just speaking on their talent, them as a team. It's a lot of talent in here, and it's. And this grind that these guys go through is kind of overlooked and underappreciated. This is a grind like no other. Also, overseas guys, it's a grind like no other. And it's, you know, compared to the NBA life, it's like night and day. So just letting them know it is recognized. I appreciate the work they put out, being out here, going through this drill work with me, taking the time out of their day. They also just played a back-to-back, so I'm even more thankful for that. And like I said, I mean, it's hard. Like I said, they get overlooked, but I was telling them it's a lot of talent in here, and just be patient because, you know, each of you will have your moment.
And I apologize if I missed it, but how did it feel to be back on there? What kind of emotions were you having? Is this the first contact that you've
You know? Honestly, it wasn't my first contact, but playing with a full 10 of, you know, athletic basketball players, this is the first. So, you know, it felt good. My body felt good. I felt great out there. My mind was good. A little out of rhythm. My wind was better than I expected. So it was a good day for me.
Was there any nervousness in how the Achilles would hold up?
No. No nervousness at all. I'm more worried about, you know, pulling a hammy or, you know, something like that. It's been a while since I've actually, you know, played and reacted and stuff like that. So the Achilles is the least of my worries.
There it is, the first media availability of DeMarcus Cousins after playing 5-on-5. Talked about him and Marcus Derrickson becoming close, playing with his brother in that 5-on-5 scrimmage, how he feels more worried about, you know, pulling a hammy or something just from being inactive for so long than he is about the Achilles. All positive things. Got to wrap this thing up real quick. We are up against it. League pass picks for this evening, a small slate tonight, only three games. Blazers, Rockets, Suns, Spurs, Raptors, Clippers. Got to go Blazers, Rockets, Raptors, Clippers, because the Suns, as much as I like some of their players, are not good. And the Spurs are clearly a lot better than them. Blazers, Rockets, I like what the Blazers have done. Rockets are pretty bad this year. Clippers, Raptors, don't know if Kawhi's going to play. Will be interesting to see how that affects the game on Wednesday, whether he plays tomorrow night or not. Thank you guys for listening. I will be back tomorrow to preview that Raptors-Dubs game. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.